Our next speaker, Dr. Guy Collins, North Carolina, right? North Carolina, and a host of other speakers will give us a presentation on 2015 Beltwide on-farm cotton variety performance trials. We heard about the new varieties yesterday, and we'll give us some numbers.
All right, thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here to talk with you about this work today. I do want to acknowledge all of the members of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group and other regional agronomists across the belt that contributed to this talk. So without their work and their contributions, this wouldn't be possible. So I do want to acknowledge all the co-authors you see listed here. All right, as you well know, varieties are released onto the market very quickly these days. Doesn't leave us much time to effectively evaluate varieties as they come onto the marketplace. And this is due to a number of reasons, mainly the increased advancements that we see in yield and quality, better breeding techniques, and naturally the release of new herbicide and insecticide technologies, which encourages this rapid adoption. So again, we don't have much time to really learn these varieties and how to effectively place or position these varieties in certain environments before they're removed to the market and from the market and replaced with other ones. So a few years ago, several members of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group, in partnership with Cotton Incorporated, we started this on-farm variety testing program on a broad basis, including most states, cotton-producing states across the belt. And we've really learned a lot from this program, and we clearly see the value in such a program as it relates to variety selection and what that means to grower profitability. I do want to mention that many of the trials that you're going to see me discuss here today are going to be available in the Seed Matrix database. It's an online program where you can customize your criteria for variety selection. It's a really neat website, and I would encourage you to take a look at it after the talk. All right, so this is a slide I generally show my growers in county meetings. I think it's very important. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it today, but it's just some fundamental principles I think we always need to consider when evaluating varieties and how to decide what varieties we're going to plant in certain situations. Understanding yield-limiting factors, I think, is number one. Truth be told, most of the time, that most common yield-limiting factor that could influence variety selection is going to be water, all right, and sensitivity to drought stress. Could be other things like weed control, in which technology comes into play, and nematodes. We've seen an increase in nematode issues across the belt in several states, and we do have some varieties that convey tolerance to root knot nematodes. Secondly, I think it's important that we be cautious with field-by-field observations. I hear this all the time where growers tell me, you know, this field or group of fields over here of variety A was really my best cotton compared to other varieties down the road. And naturally, in their minds, they like to think that the only difference between those two fields is the variety. Well, truth be told, there's several variables that could influence that. And any subtle change, mainly in rainfall, but soil type and a number of other factors, could really make a variety perform well or perform poorly. I think it's very important that growers look at replicated data and compare varieties in the same environment. And just for illustration, I've shown some numbers from 2015 in North Carolina, comparing different varieties in the same trial. If you look at the lowest yield environment that we had in North Carolina in 2015, compare the top versus the bottom variety. And if a grower's looking at that on a field-by-field basis, he's probably not going to be very satisfied with any of them. But if you compare those varieties in the same environment, there was a difference of 177 pounds, and that may mean the difference in making money or not in that particular situation. At the other end of the spectrum, look at the highest yielding trial that we had in 2015. You can see there was a difference of 244 pounds per acre from top to bottom varieties in that particular trial. So variety selection, even there, really does matter. But if you're looking at field-by-field observations of these varieties, you're probably going to be satisfied with all of them. So again, looking at replicated data, comparing varieties in the same environment, I think is extremely important. Lastly, and most importantly, I think stability is the best predictor for us in evaluating varieties. In other words, how frequently is a variety going to perform at or near the top across a broad range of factors, mainly rainfall, but soil types, geographical regions, those sorts of things I think are very important. And it's a good indicator for how well a variety can tolerate certain stresses or certain environmental variables. All right, probably the most important slide I'll show you today. This is just some rough economics for 65-cent cotton. It does not assume any discounts nor premiums for Lent, so it's basically a reflection of yield. The point I want to make here is the variety selection is really one of the more important economic decisions that we can make. Depending on the degree of error in variety selection, this year, and these are real numbers in producers' fields, improper variety selection cost us anywhere from $120 to $150 an acre. And that's more than most other single agronomic inputs that you can make all year long. So this adds up very, very quickly across the number of acres. All right, why do we do on-farm trials versus small plot OVT? In my opinion, these are both excellent programs. We encourage all growers to look at both programs in each state. These programs really complement each other very well. So they offer you a complete picture of variety performance and how to evaluate them. Naturally, OVT is conducted differently in certain states, but OVT in many states is conducted without any regard to technology. So in those trials, you can sometimes, depending on how the states do them, you can compare conventional varieties to ones that have modern technology packages, so on and so forth. OVT is a very good platform to evaluate experimental varieties. Most of the time when a variety is released, the first look we have at performance of new varieties is going to be in OVT. But the strength of the on-farm program is when we get to see performance under producers' management and in a much broader range of environments and different environmental characteristics, whether that be soil type, rainfall patterns, irrigation, several of those factors. So it really broadens our scope in the way that we evaluate varieties. All right, so I'm going to move across the belt and just discuss some of the on-farm variety trials today. For the sake of time, I'm only going to be reporting the varieties that were common to a number of trials in each of these states. And as you can see, and I'm going to break this down by region as well, on the map there you can see the number of trials that were conducted in each one of these states, as well as the members of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group that participated in the program. So in the Southeast, the number of trials there, you can see where they were. Collectively, the Southeastern states represent just over 2 million acres. In the Mid-South, again, the cotton specialists that participated collectively, these states represent just under 1 million acres. Then lastly, in the Southwest, Texas being our leading cotton producing state naturally, this region represents roughly 4.8 million acres. All right, so starting in the upper Southeast, and I'm going to move further south and west. Again, I'm only reporting varieties that were common to a number of trials that we had in this situation, so I would encourage you to look at all the various outlets for variety information that your state has, because these were the only ones that were common. All right, so in North Carolina and Virginia, collectively this was 20 trials, ranging from an average of 395 to over 1,300 pounds per acre. Several varieties in common there, Delta Pine 1538 and 1522. Those are two new ExtendFlex varieties. The top one there was in the top three in at least 75% of trials. Again, I think it's important we look at stability. Then you have several varieties there, 1522, Phytogen 495, Stoneville 49, 46, and Phytogen 333. At least 40% of the time, those were in the top three. South Carolina, there was four trials there, ranging from 460 to over 1,100 pounds. Delta Pine 1553, 1538 were your most frequently in the top three that you see there, as well as Phytogen 499, that was half the time was in the top three. Georgia and Florida combined, there were 17 trials ranging from 600 pounds to over 1,600, largely depending on irrigation and the amount of rainfall. Delta Pine 1538 was in the top three 65% of the time. Then you have Delta Pine 1558, a root knot nematode tolerant variety, and 1553, roughly 50 to 60% of the time, those two varieties were in the top three. Alabama, there were four trials there, ranging from an average of 700 pounds to over 1,400. Again, Delta Pine 1538 was in the top three in 75% of those trials. Again, comparing only the varieties that you see here. Delta Pine 1553 and 1522, 50% of the time, they were in the top three. Tennessee, four trials there. Fairly high yields in Tennessee. Those range from 1,100 pounds to over 1,300 pounds. Phytogen 444 was in the top two 100% of the time. Delta Pine 1518, half the time it was in the top two. Arkansas and Missouri, eight trials collectively there, ranging from 1,072 to over 1,800 pounds. Delta Pine 1518, Dynagrow 3385, and NextGen 3405 were in the top two and 38% of their trials. Mississippi, 17 trials there, ranging from 850 to over 1,600 pounds. Phytogen 444, again, similar to what you saw in Tennessee, was in the top three in 65% of those trials, followed closely by Delta Pine 1522. Just over half the time, it was in the top three. Louisiana, there's two trials there. Difficult to do stability characteristics with that, but we have Phytogen 333, 312, and Delta Pine 1522 were your top three based on the combined average. All right, so Texas High Plains and the Oklahoma home farm trials. Oklahoma had two. Texas had three that had these three varieties in common to them. In Oklahoma, your top ones were Stoneville 4946, Delta Pine 1321, Phytogen 333. And then you can see Stoneville 4946, clearly the top one of those three in West Texas. South Texas, there were 14 trials ranging from 400 to over 2,000 pounds. Of the varieties that were in common to those 14 trials, Phytogen 333 was number one in 57% of those trials. And lastly, with Arizona, Delta Pine 1549, this is in five trials, very high yields in Arizona, as you can see, 1,500 pounds to over 1,800. Delta Pine 1549 was the number one variety compared to these other four, and 60% of those trials. So again, this is just the varieties that were in common to a number of trials. There's a lot more varieties in several of these trials, independent trials. So I would, again, encourage you to look at the various outlets for your estate and how that variety information is disseminated, as well as take a close look at the Seed Matrix database. That's a very good resource that's utilized across the bell. So with that, I do want to thank Cotton Incorporated for their support of this program. Our state commodity boards that also contribute, as well as our seed companies. We couldn't do that without their participation. All the members, the co-authors of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group. And lastly, and very importantly, our county agents and cooperating growers. Without their help, we could not do this program. So with that, I'll be happy to take any quick questions if we have time.
Quick questions. All right. Thank you, guys.